Welcome to another episode of Circle of Greatness. I'm going to keep telling you, I'm bringing you the best and the greatest entrepreneurs in the world. And when I talk about this man, we call him Mr. No Fluff. When he get on a podcast, when he get on a platform, he go crazy. And I told him, bro, this is going to be a masterclass. He says, say no more. He asked me earlier, who was the best person ever on a pod? I said, I don't know. But he said, it's me now.
Right.
Without further ado, y'all want to introduce my brother, Justin Phillips, entrepreneur, amazing dude, just crushing it, bro. What's up, bro?
What up, brother? I appreciate you inviting me.
Hey, welcome to the Greatness Estates, man.
Long overdue. You got a beautiful home, beautiful place here, brother.
Thank you for being here, man. So I got to get in the origin story that we talked about. Like, you know, this, I've been treating our podcast really like a masterclass. Like, I want people to come on here. Minimum backstory. I want people to leave here with just game,
right?
Or whatever, but they gotta hear
they
how we
to.
Met.
They have like, to,
because it's crazy. Yeah. So you talk about it, then I add to it.
It's a long story, but I'm gonna try to shorten it up as much as possible. Basically, you know, we got mutual friends, Jason, guy, and then Helani.
Yeah.
So Mr. and Miss 2 weeks out. So me and them were both using the same ad agency. My boy Leon from Customer Mojo. Leon called me randomly one day. He's like, man, I don't know if you do it, but like, could you please just go check on Helani and Jason? They about to give some person 15K to just look at the back end of their Shopify and help them out.
Yeah.
I'm like, where they at? Yeah. So he was like, man, just call them up. Here's their number. Called them up. They were like, yo, we at the loft. I stopped what I was doing, drove straight over there. And then we just sat down in the loft and I just picked apart their whole business top to bottom. Yeah. And I was like, you need to do all of this. And then within her first year of business, she did $1 million just off of that 1 3-hour conversation.
I remember he still talks about it to this day.
Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
And I just need people to really understand. Even the other day, I'm like, bro, I got somebody I want to do a VIP day. Like, got you still set up at this level as you continue to keep elevating. But before we even continue the origin story, why still give your gift away at times like that?
Yeah.
Why do you still do that? Like,
for me personally, I think that the world is just super abundant. So I don't think that if anybody else wins, I don't lose.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I'll just be blessed beyond, I'm already blessed and grateful. Yeah. So it's like, if I could help a friend out at no charge, I know that they'll be probably willing to help me in the future. And if they don't, I just do it off the strength just because I want to help out.
Yeah, so that's good. That's powerful. I feel like it gives you big returns. Like, I was just talking to Dave, like, yo, Justin put together this group chat, bro. It's got me motivated, dropping gems. It's going crazy. Right. And I was like, yeah, that's the type of guy he is. Always looking to, when you get info, you bring it back to your people.
Right.
Like, period. Like,
yeah.
You call it no gatekeeping. You make sure you get that info out to the people.
See, and another thing that I started to think about with it is that it empties my brain. Yeah. So it's like, even Marcus says this, he's like, you got to invest forward and then teach backwards.
Mm.
So I always invest forward to acquire more knowledge, but there's also a little selfish piece of it as well, because I learn the information better when I teach somebody.
Yeah.
So I learn it once and then I teach it and I learn it again.
Yeah.
And then I dump it and give it to everyone else, which gives me more brain capacity to go get more new information. That's kind of a strategy of mine as well.
That's good. So our initial meeting, you came to Topgolf, finish that.
Yeah, so after I helped out Jason Helani, I was DMing Jason back and forth, and I saw y'all going up and meeting up at Topgolf in these places, and I text him. I'm just joking with him. I'm like, yo, bro, y'all, man, y'all got to get some young blood in the building, man. Y'all don't got the real sauce in the building, man. You got to whatever. And then he was like, I'm going to get you into one or whatever. And a couple went by, and then I didn't say anything. I'm like, I'm not mad or whatever. But that's a good piece to stop on, because a lot of people, even when in our business, like when we're doing clothing and whatnot, we would send something out to an influencer, they wouldn't post. And then a lot of people would get mad and then try to attack it.
Yeah.
But we gave something to Rick Ross. He didn't post it for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then that helped us out when he did post it. But if I would have got mad prematurely, that never would have happened. So now we finally come to one of the masterminds at Topgolf. First person I meet is my boy Neo. So I sit down, and you know, Neo, he's an amazing guy, but you know one thing about Neo, you know he loved money, man.
Yeah,
he loved to give to his people. He loved to help his family out, and that's why, of course. So I sit down and Neo says, man, what you do, man?
Yeah.
That's the first thing he asked me. I said, man, I just sell clothes, bro. And then he was like, how much you make doing it? And I was like, $600,000 this month.
Yeah.
He was like, did you teach anybody how to do what you did? And I was like, nah, I just run the business, bro.
Yeah,
and he's like, well, you know, you can do another $600,000 teaching if you teach people to do what you did. Yep. And I was like, all right, you know, whatever, what do I do? Yep. He's like, man, just go home. And then I'm gonna give you 14 days. Yep. Just write down everything you know about e-commerce. Yep. And then just let me know you did it. Yeah. And this is a good point because ego says, who is this guy? I don't know.
Yep,
who is this guy telling me to do something that I don't already do? Yep. I make money already.
Yep.
But when you have that level of humility, mm-hmm. I can say, well, this guy obviously knows something that I don't know. Yep. And I might as well try it out. It's not going to hurt me to give more information to people. So I went home, wrote it, hit you back up. And you're like, damn, I didn't think you was going to do it.
Yeah. Facts.
Like, most people don't execute
bro,
what you did.
I was like, this dude really did it? Yeah. I couldn't believe it, bro, because no one does it, bro. Right, yeah. And I don't even think I do this thing where I set a penalty. Mm. I don't even think we set, like, what if you don't do it?
It wasn't none.
Because normally I got to do that. I'm like, yo, if they do that, yo, you owe me $5,000. They like, oh, yeah. I got it done. But you went and did it.
Yeah, I just went and did it. And then from there, just dropped it. And then that kind of turned into, you know me, when I set my mind to something, I just want to know all about it. Yeah. So I dropped the ebook. Then I'm like, well, what if I see people doing courses? Like, let me learn the course game. Yeah. Then I see webinars. I'm like, let me learn that. And then I see challenges. So I just dove all the way into it. But it all stemmed from, you know, when we first had that meeting and we just was messing around.
Millions and millions and millions later.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, I feel good, bro. I helped a lot of people make a lot of money. I feel good about that, though. I got to ask you, bro, and your mom even said it. Like, she says you always been like that, just when you set your mind on something, you go all in. Where did you get that from? How can that be developed right now? Because there's a lot of people who dabble.
Right.
Like, I'm going to try this, but if it don't work, like, you made sure it worked. Like, you stick with something until it works, and most people don't. And I even remember when you got in your clothing, like, I want to say you might have spent, like, you got left with 11 cents or $11.
Yeah, two pennies.
Yeah. But you made a decision to go all in, and everything that you commit to, it works. So kind of talk about that.
I think a lot of it comes from my mom in general, just growing up in a single parent household. Yeah. My dad went to jail when I was two, got out when I was 17.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
Just seeing my mom, you know, she would have me going place to place. Literally, my grandmother kicked her out of the home, and then she had me, so she was going couch to couch, sleeping with friends and whatnot. So then to see her go from that to then doing a job, then working real estate on the side at the job, and then getting fired from the job for doing real estate, and then going all in on real estate, I just saw the importance of, like, really going all in on the thing that you were doing. And another thing that I felt, it's just like, I think humans, they get motivated by two things. It's like inspiration or desperation.
So
it's like, but my thing is like, why be motivated by desperation? Because you know the wall is behind you. I like to be pulled forward by the things that I actually want to see for myself. Yeah. So one of the best ways I found to do that is just go all in on the thing that you want to do. So when I had the opportunity to jump into the clothing game, I had $10,000 and two pennies in my bank account. And I said, bro, I'm gonna just put it all in. And I just put $10,000 into it, because I think people give up so quickly because they don't have enough invested. Yeah. So it's like, I couldn't quit. So I put that money in, but most people just want everything for free and they're not really attached to the idea. Whereas I had everything attached to it, so I couldn't give up.
Yeah.
And that's just where the mentality, I feel like, came from.
Wow. Let me ask you this, because at a point, and I don't know, it could be still, you were millionaire making all this money and you slept on the floor or was sleeping on
still
sleep today,
like,
and there's a bed in the room.
No, it's not. I got rid of it.
Tell me about that concept. That's a crazy concept.
Crazy concept.
Tell me about it, bro.
I'm extreme, bro. I don't recommend this for anybody.
Yeah, but I want to hear it, though, because I got to hear you are extreme.
So it really comes from when I moved to Atlanta in 2018. I was living in Houston, Texas, and I was living by myself, and then one day my cousins knocked on the door and they like, yo, stuff's messed up at our house. Like, can we come and stay with you? I'm like, sure.
Yeah.
But it was three or four of them. So it was five of us living in a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
So we would take turns, you know, you get to bed tonight, you sleep on the floor, boom, boom, boom. So I was sleeping on the floor because I had to. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a choice because of what I allowed my family to come in. And then at that time, I read an article, and there was an article about this dude who said he intentionally sleeps on the floor daily to wake up and be motivated and inspired to go hustle hard to get a bed, like to deserve that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So I kind of just kept that. And then also when I started to make a lot of money, I just was like, man, don't ever lose sight of like the faster you get it, the faster you can lose it. So just I try to, my best is my way of staying grounded so I never get too, you know, lose my humility and just let my ego get too
big. You don't want sillies under your back, man.
But we was looking at apartments today. They forcing me to go, you know, get a bed and get, man, all of this stuff.
Find another way to be extreme for a second, man. You owe it to your back.
Right.
I really want people to really understand. It don't got to be a floor, but you have to make up in your mind that it must work.
Yeah.
And I feel like more people would be successful if they had that mindset, developed that, like, this business is going to work.
Yeah.
This social media is going to, like, most people aren't successful because they're not all in.
Yeah.
They dabble.
Yeah.
Right. That's so if I could, I be trying to figure out, bro, and I don't know, like, what to tell people to make them go all in. Like,
I know what it is, bro. I finally figured it out.
Tell me, because I need to know.
So I was talking to this girl at this Shopify meetup the other day, and she was like, I want to do this brand, and I know what I need to do, but I don't, like, I'm not doing it. Why am I not doing it? And I said, it came to my head, and I was like, you're just too comfortable. Mm. And she was like, what do you mean? And I was like, do you believe that this business, when you do it, will make $1 million? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I can't tell, because you're still doing the thing that's leaving you in being comfortable. So if you truly believe that the business that you're telling me and asking me questions about was going to make $1 million, it wouldn't be you wouldn't even think about staying what you're doing, because this makes way more money than what you're currently doing right now. Wow. And then also that was just the biggest one for me. And then also I told this other girl this. I was like, you got to think about, like, pace it out a few years in the future. You know what you're doing, what it feels like, because you're living in it right now. But let me ask you this. Doing what you're doing right now, what do you think it'll look like in 5 years? Mm. And then she was like, I'll probably just be in the same place, like, doing this and that, whatever. And I was like, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
And then she was like, no. And I was like, well, then you need to make a decision right now, because if you walk out of here, like, only one person can walk out of here. It's either going to be the new you or the old you. You let me know.
Wow.
And she was like, I want it to be the new me. And then she, you know, walked out. So, but I think that's I've been trying to figure it out too, because it's always like, you could lead a horse to water, can't make them drink. But I'm like, I want to say something to make them want to go and
go up,
do what they got to do. And that's the two that work for me so far.
Powerful, bro. Yeah. I got to use that on the workshop.
Yeah, facts.
That was strong. So, man, you built 7-figure brands, crushing it. And I want to go ahead and kind of dive into building a brand.
Yeah.
Content creation, building a brand, growing. We were just sitting here talking about growing different businesses and exiting, and we've been talking about that. If you are building a brand in this current year, what is step one, right? And I want to preface this that we're going to go deeper for people who are already established, but I also want to know, like, I feel like the hardest thing for most people is to actually start.
Right.
So I want to kind of hear that, and then we could go more ninja and stuff.
Yeah.
But right now, in these times, are you, tell me, like, what steps?
It's crazy because it's so easy and there's so many different ways to do it. Yeah. But if I'm starting right now and I'm gonna just pretend like I have no money, like I have nothing.
Yeah.
First thing that I even did was I just sold some of the stuff that I had to get a couple dollars.
Yeah.
So there's two different ways. I'll give two. So one, if you have $0 and no skill and no money, what I would do is go on these, like we talked about earlier, go on these Instagram pages, these theme pages, et cetera, and look for different influencers that don't have any product already.
Yeah.
And if they don't have a product, but you have time to make a website, you can hit that influencer up. Let's just say they're in the fitness niche. Yo, I just made a Shopify website on a free trial, right? And it didn't cost you nothing. I made a Shopify website because I spent time learning how to do it. It's in your niche and it's an already operating business. All you have to do is just post.
Yep.
That's it. And I'll split everything with you 50-50. So now
I hope they court that though.
Yeah.
That's a heavy gym right
you
there.
Don't got to do nothing but learn how to make the website and then just hit up a bunch of people. And you could even have a template.
DM warrior.
You could have just a template for the website and just swap the picture out for every influencer that you got. And then you just hitting up 10, 15, 100 influencers a week.
Yep.
And then one will hit and then you'll be solid.
Yeah.
Other than that, if I didn't have any money, you know, I would sell something that I had in the house. You always say that too, is like more people, they spending more money on their body than in their body. So I realized that when I was in the trenches starting out, I had Balenciagas, Margiela's, all of this. My mom got them for me for Christmas, but I'm like, bro, I'm hurting right now, but I got all of this designer stuff. Sold it all. So sorry to my mom. She here. Sorry. Sold it all. And then I started
I know she's happy for you.
Yeah. So now, and then I started to, you know, just find products on sale. So if I'm starting out now, I'm either going on Craigslist, looking at the free stuff that's available, and then taking it and putting it on OfferUp and selling it. Something for free, sell it for $20. You make you $100 in a day or two. And then now I would go into like building my Shopify, finding a product, et cetera, which we can talk about later.
But that influencer piece?
Yeah, I mean.
That's a 6 or 7 figure play right there.
Easily. You just got to run it.
You just got to find one person.
One person.
As you was thinking about it, bro, I was literally sitting there and came to my mind was Meek, Lil Uzi. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I'm like, I might as well just go after the biggest people and do the same exact play.
Yeah, because this is what happens. It happens all the time. Yeah. You build you out a little website that looks good and you send it to them like, hey, I just built this out. It's already operating in business. Like, let's talk about it or whatever. Yeah. Then you already know if somebody like a graphic designer or something hit you up, yo, Neo, I made this flyer for you. And then you like it. You like, oh, nah, somebody come talk to bro, get him on the team. So it's the same thing. It's just a different business. So
I just had to say it twice because somebody gonna miss it.
Right.
Like somebody, like we say, if I had no money, no, you could do that with money.
Yeah.
I would go, these are plays I run now with people with different stuff.
Bro, literally. Especially if you got connections.
Yeah. No, exactly. What's next?
If I'm doing that, then I'll probably go buy me a domain, GoDaddy.
Yep.
A penny. Yeah. If you get the right domain, a .co.
Yeah.
If you get a .com, $14.
Yeah.
Shopify free.
Yep.
4 month trial. If you know how to find that link, you know, we'll leave that there.
Yeah.
And then now a free YouTube video to learn how to build the site.
Yeah.
So now it's just finding a product.
Got it.
And that's super easy.
How are you, for somebody here, how are you deciding on what product is for you?
Yeah.
Do I want to go into clothing? Do I want to go into beauty? Do I want to go in digital products? Yeah. Do I want to go in, like, how is somebody, and this could be somebody established looking for a new product or somebody starting, like, how do you decide what, are you doing some keyword research to find out what's trending? Like, talk to me through that.
It depends. So there's a few ways to find like popular products. I typically like to have products that have a specific, like, they have specific things about them. Yeah. Number one, I can get at least a $20 profit from it.
Yep.
It's not sold in stores.
Yep.
So I can't just like go to Walmart and get it because it's too accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I can sell it for at least 3 times the amount that I bought it from for Alibaba, AliExpress, CJ Dropship, and all of the others. We can talk about those later too. It has a wow factor.
Yep.
It solves a problem. There's like 12, 13 different things. Those are like 6 or 7. So that's one way if you're just looking at the actual attributes of the product. Another way that you can do it is by what will give you the most leverage. And I think that, you know, a lot of people don't understand leverage in general, but Alex Hormozi, you know, friend of yours, talks about it a lot. So essentially, 2 things with that. If you can't understand leverage, then just pick the thing that you like the best. Like, I like skincare. I like this. Then sell something in that niche because then you won't give up on it because you actually care about it.
Yeah.
Or you can do something that you think is going to help the most people. That's another way to just pick something good. And then the third thing is, if it has leverage, is the market growing year over year?
Yep.
Does it solve a problem for people? Mm-hmm. Can you easily target those people? And that's leverage.
Yeah.
So now I can just pick products that actually hit those 3 or 4 points. And
are you deciding if it's a growing year over year? Are you going on Google Trends?
Yep.
What are you? Okay.
Google Trends.
Okay.
Super easy one. And I always like to look for, when I'm searching on Google Trends, you don't want something that's kind of just stagnant or it's seasonal. You want something that has a decent demand for, you know, across the year.
We've started businesses years ago, but now we're bulletproofing them up to get them exit ready.
Right.
Like, we're trying to prepare them to get them right. What's some things that brands should be doing, whether they're starting or right now, to go back and be like, yo, I got to get right for a potential exit. And for those who don't understand, to sell your business.
Right. One, you have to treat yourself as an employee. Most people are doing everything in the business and then think that they can sell it, but you have to pay yourself a fair market wage, because once you leave, someone's going to have to get paid that.
That's
but they think that, oh, I'm, you know, I'm not paying myself anything. That's not cool, bro. Like, so that's number one. Number two, you want to increase the lifetime value of your customer, the average order value of the customer in general.
Yep.
You want to increase the EBITDA, and I'm sure, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I would say you want to document everything, because you want to have just SOPs for the business in general. Because if I pass this over to a different owner and they don't know how to operate it, then my business drastically loses enterprise value.
Yeah.
And also I would say, building the brand rather than building yourself up personally, because a personal brand is extremely difficult to exit, or something that's linked to one influencer versus something that's a brand that stands by itself. You can get a way bigger exit. If you can build in some sort of monthly recurring revenue, because that's always outstanding. A few things off the top of the head.
How would you leverage monthly recurring revenue right now with a physical product?
I'm
helping everybody.
So now what we'll do is this is like, whenever we have, it's kind of funny because ClickFunnels, you have like an order bump, but no one thinks about that on the physical side of business. So what we do is when someone gets to the cart, we have a little order bump that we'll put in, and it'll be like, you know, you can subscribe to this to get free shipping on all of your orders. So it's like $15 a month, or you can get a newsletter for the brand and you get exclusive discounts, et cetera. So we'll just add in one button that'll be $15 a month. That'll give them free shipping, exclusive orders, et cetera.
That's powerful.
And you know, that's just one thing that you can have it turned on, and they got to turn it off first before they even check out. So now everyone is almost signing up for it.
I need five ways to pull out. You said we getting greasy. Five ways to make an extra 100,000. Like, you just gave one with the order bump. Like, I want or when you're going to go sit down with brands.
Yeah.
I know we're in it. Like, when I'm, you know, on my digital stuff, I'm going to go look at things that you're not doing, that we could pull. Like, we just broke a TikTok strategy that is going to get somebody paid,
right. Yeah, right? For sure.
So we are looking at ways to help somebody pull more money out. Okay. Give me a few tips that.
Yeah.
You looking at brands, you're analyzing the business. I need this brand to do another 100 grand this quarter or a million. Mm-hmm. Talk to me.
First, there's a few things. One, I'm checking out to see what they're doing on the email and text side.
Yeah.
Most people are just massively underdoing it.
Yeah.
So we're typically sending at least, you know, 3 emails a week.
Yeah.
Most people aren't doing any, let alone maybe 1 a week.
Yeah.
Number two, I would say we're also building out a ton of different flows that no one's typically doing. So you obviously have your welcome flow. You want to have your abandoned cart flow.
Yeah.
You want to have your browser abandonment too. So when someone looks at a product but doesn't add it to cart, need to hit them as well.
Yep.
Thank you flow.
Yep.
Customer win back. If no one, you know, if they buy and then don't come back, having all of that in place, that's one.
That was 5 flows already.
That's just 5.
About what, 5 to 10 emails per flow?
Yeah, I would say 3 to 5-ish. 3 to 5. Yeah.
You already 25 emails.
Right.
That somebody need to do. So email marketing, number one, work on that.
And then matching that with text messages as well. So now you just do the same thing, but through text, which is getting crazy open rates, right? Number two, I'm trying to probably...
What software are you using for text though?
Text, I'm using SMS Bump physical products. For digital, I'm using Simple Texting.
Got it, okay.
Yeah. So increasing the average order, I like to use like buy now, pay later options, Sezzle, QuadPay, Affirm, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then also... doing post-purchase upsells as well as pre-purchase. So the way I do my post-purchase upsells is the easiest thing to sell something, or the easiest thing to sell to somebody is the same thing that they just bought at a deeper discount.
Bingo.
So what we do is, even on the physical side, you bought a hoodie, here's the same exact hoodie, but for 10% off. And then if they don't buy it at that, make it 15% off. But then if they buy it, I add a supplementary product like a hat or something along those lines. So post-purchase upsells is drastically not done well, and doing that for every product. Because another thing that you can do is when you're segmenting using apps like Klaviyo, you can easily do something specific for each product. So let's say I'm a skincare brand. I know that if people buy this product, they have dry skin. If people buy this product, they have oily skin. So if I can easily upsell them in the emails afterwards, more products that they're going to need, or even add in a monthly email that's going to get them to re-up on the thing that they just bought, because you know that it takes 27 or 28 days to use it. That's just some things that you can do as well. It's just adding the average order value, increasing the lifetime value of the customer too.
Bro, and if people pick this up, bro, and employ this in their business, why don't they do it though?
I don't think they don't know.
Yeah,
you know.
All right,
we'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
All right, give me some softwares. I know you have you on Shopify, mm-hmm. Willio. Give me some things that they can also add, maybe software wise.
Sure.
And the thing that I want a lot of people to get, I don't want to add, this is going to cost me. No, it's costing you not to have it.
Right.
So share with me, because I know when you sat down with Helani and them, you added 3, 4, 5
yeah.
tech, pieces for sure. of tech that instantly, again, she did a million the first year, a huge, huge amount of that came from those things that y'all talked about. So share with me some softwares.
So one of my favorites is this app called Spently. Bro, that app is ridiculous. Even for people that are in the digital space, I don't know why they don't do this. The most open emails is your receipts and your tracking emails. Mm-hmm. Everything else, you know, you'd be lucky to get a 20 to 30% open rate.
Oh, but lucky. Sure.
So, but if you, every time somebody sends tracking or anybody time someone sends a receipt, you're getting a 300% open rate because they keep checking it over and over to see where they stuff at. Mm. So why are we not monetizing in the place that's being opened the most?
Yeah.
So Spently will allow you to make custom receipts that will sell products in the receipts as well. Wow. So that alone, $300 app, but once I installed it that first month, just tens of thousands of dollars off of a $300 investment. Ooh. You got Live Recover, one of my favorites. You put that into your store and people at Live Recover, live humans will start texting all of your abandoned carts and just
Stop what you're doing right now. Go to thepropertychallenge.com right now. Terica Lynn Smith is responsible for me owning a block with over 60 investment properties on there. And my goal in this season is to help more people like you, like me, become real estate investors. She's having this upcoming virtual event and in-person conference that's going to be absolutely game changing. So go to thepropertychallenge.com right now and secure your spot. See you soon.
Learning to whatever their needs are. Wow. So instead of having like a automated abandoned cart, like, hey, you left this in your cart, come get it. It'll be like, hey, Jessica, this is Justin from, you know, Justin's team or whatever. Yeah. And then tailor it to their experience. That's a great one. SMS Bump, Klaviyo. SMS Bump's for your text, Klaviyo's for your emails. You got Wheelio, like you said, No Fraud, which protects all of your orders that are fraudulent. There's a ton. Those are a few of my favorites.
Are you recommending now for people fulfill, get someone to fulfill, or you self-fulfill? Because I know like when you're dealing with this is the one most people use for their fulfillment.
Oh, like Printful.
Printful and all that. I feel like the margins, they're killing you.
Yeah, they kill you on the margins. They kill you on the margins. But I look at that as like a kind of a starter type of situation. Because the hardest thing is for people is like, oh, I don't got money for product. Then it's like, cool. Just do a print on, you know, print on demand and get it out and get it out there.
So when you're more advanced, you got a budget. Are you recommending that you're in? I never recommend you should be screen printing shirts for me anyway.
Right.
I always say find a printer that can do it. But are you recommending find that printer, you ship them out yourself with your team, or straight on fulfillment?
I did straight on fulfillment. That's what I recommend now. Okay. I'm coming from the standpoint of having a warehouse for 10,000 square feet with 30 employees and eight sewing machines.
Yeah.
If you're not that, this is very important too. Yeah. If you're not the type of person to operate that type of business, then it's not going to work well for you. Too many people, in my opinion, they're building their life around their business rather than building a business around their life. So for me, I was like, what's going to look good? And what are you supposed to do? And I was like, well, I want to get a warehouse and I want to have, you know, this amount of employees because I thought that would look cool. Yeah. But in reality, that wasn't the business model that fit the lifestyle that I wanted for myself. So one of the most important things you can do when you're starting off is operate with a little self-awareness and then ask yourself, what type of entrepreneur do I see myself being? What type of business model fits the skill sets that I have? Because what ended up happening with me is I got this huge business that I now resent a little bit because I built it and then it wasn't working with my lifestyle. Yeah. But you don't want to resent your business. That's your baby. Yeah. So now I say, before you do anything, just ask yourself, let me be self-aware real quick. What business models are available to me and which ones match my skill set and which ones match who I want to be in the future? And then pick that one now so you don't have to resent it and then hire consultants and all of this other stuff to just get to where you should have been in the first place.
That's good. Speaking of that, bro, how important is coaching, bro? Consultants and like how, like people think, like, you know, I'm spending so much money, $400,000 last year, personal development. I love it. Like I'm a junkie.
Right.
And they think I'm telling you that to give me money. No, I'm telling you, it changed my life. How important is it to get consultants and get coaching and stuff.
It's like vital, bro. We just, like me and the homies, we call it time traveling, bro. You just traveling straight through time. You're getting somebody like me, been through the game, someone like you, 15 years in the game. This is the thing, you're gonna pay for it anyway.
That's a fact.
You're gonna either pay for it now with a couple $100,000 or you're gonna pay for it with the time and mistakes that you make doing it by yourself. So I'd rather pay someone like you to get me the result I'm looking for in 3 to 5 days or months than rather go and learn it by myself in three years and then waste all of the money. It's a perfect example. When I first started, the first manufacturer I ever used, sent them $10,000, never heard from them again. Mm-hmm. First, when I first got started. Mm. So I could have easily paid someone $500 for a vendor list that's vetted and used, and then I could have just not lost $10,000. Yeah. So not paying $500 to a coach, mentor, or whatever, lost me $10,000.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm on a YouTube video at some point, and I want to just talk about my biggest mistakes. And one of them was not paying professionals and not paying the best. Like dabbling, trying to be cheap.
Yeah.
Trying to, you a little bit cheaper than him or her? Let me go that way. And it always costs me more. I always tell people this also, for anybody listening, like, you keep saying you're going to start the business. As you wait, it is only costing you more. It's costing you more time, right? It's costing you more money that you're not going to get. Like, you must start and commit now. Like, I keep telling people, like, yo, the best time to start.
Right now.
Right now.
No opportunity wasted.
Exactly, bro. Telling people, I'm like, they got to get on it, bro.
There's no merit in waiting, bro. That's a fact. If you want to do it later, you might as well do it now.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
You want to do it later. Yeah. You might as well do it now, bro.
I got to ask you, how many people truly want to do this now?
Right.
So why aren't you?
Yeah, like literally.
And you know what? Some people, I don't got the money. How long will that continue to be your excuse?
Literally. And then I always tell people, even in the trainings too, where it's like, even if you can't jump into the program or whatever, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But don't be in the same place next time you hear an offer from anybody.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
See, I want to jump into this thing. It's $2,000, whatever. I don't got it. That sucks.
Yeah.
So don't be in that position next time, bro. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And get free information too.
That's a fact. So let's talk about it. So we talked about creating a product. We talked about different things around that. I want to get into content creation on pushing the product. Let's go heavy on content creation.
Oh, yeah, that's my bag now.
So let's talk about product. Like, what's some things we should be doing right now on content creation? Okay. What's platforms we need to be on? Have at it.
So I like Google. I like TikTok. TikTok first, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Super cheap CPLs and cost per acquisition right now. The only thing with it is that you got to refresh the creative pretty frequently. If you're spending a lot, I would say every 3 weeks. If you're not spending as much, I'd probably say every 3 months or so. Yeah. I like Google specifically if you have a product that solves a problem, like back pain, et cetera, whatever, because you can obviously target keywords for that. Other than that, we're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Google. Yeah. And sometimes we test out YouTube, but that's, whatever.
Yeah.
So the creative that's working right now is UGC, so user generated content, like unboxing videos. Mm-hmm. There's also like comparison videos, but done a tasteful way. So
what do you mean by that?
So like, let's just say I have a drink product and I show my drink, and then I show another drink that has an orange top at the top of it, but it doesn't have the wrapper on it. You know that I'm comparing my drink to Gatorade, but you don't know. I'm not like saying, oh, Gatorade stinks or anything like that, but I'm doing it in a more tasteful way.
Yeah.
The founder's origin story of why they created the product. Those are like my 4 or 5 favorites.
That's good. I like that. So UGC, how are you getting the UGC content from your customers? Is it an email? Is it a coupon code? Like, what is prompting them to go out and actually become a content creator for you?
Yeah.
How are you getting them to do it?
There's a few ways you can do it. Number one, you can always just buy it from people that aren't supporters of you, especially if you're just getting started.
Yeah.
We use websites like billow.app. We use broll.io. Literally, hey, here's $50. Say exactly what I want you to say about my product. And they're already vetted creators.
Yeah.
Another way you can do it is when someone does buy from you, you can just throw that in like a app. It's called Judge Me. So Judge Me will prompt your customer for a photo, a video, et cetera. And then they'll give you a review. You can also use something called Boast. Boast will allow you to send a mass email to all of your customers. And then once they open the email, it opens up their camera. It tells them what you want them to do and it opens up their camera. So they can just immediately just be like, yo, this is great, blah, 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 blah. And then it sends it right back to you through email. So that's a few ways to get some good content. Another, I'm trying to give it all up. Viral e-com ads is a great one. Then you have bands off ads too as well. So those are just a few places to get UGC, like really good UGC.
And I think it's, I love it because it seems more organic. It seems like it's official.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh yeah, I got to rock with
it. It's like a human's using it. Like I can actually understand what's going on.
I feel like you've cracked the code. Now I'm going to be selfish for a second. I feel like you lately on Instagram, the last few months, like you figured out something that works extremely well. With just you, how did you come up with that concept around how you pretty much are telling brands where they find certain things online? And then how do I do something similar in my industry?
The way that I thought about it was I asked myself three questions. Number one, what does everybody in my industry need? What do they all need? Then I asked myself second question, what is everyone in my industry hiding from people? And then third, I asked myself, what can I go very deep in my bag with that I'll never run out of ideas for? So for me, the one thing
that's the formula.
That's the formula. Wow. So for me, the one thing that hit was everybody in my industry needs a supplier. They need a manufacturer. They need someone to make their products. Everybody gatekeeping a supplier. Nah, you can't have my supplier. Like, no, you can't do that.
That's and a then, fact. No then one I knew share the supplier.
They don't. So then I knew I could talk about endless amounts of suppliers, brands, products, whatever. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to just give it all away for free.
Yeah.
And then once I started doing that, it just started just going crazy.
You grew, what you grew your social in the last few months? At least 400,000 followers?
600,000.
For free though.
Yeah. Yeah.
How hard is it to grow 500,000 followers on Instagram? Well, wait, how many followers are on Instagram? I'm at 300,000. I'm at 500.
I feel like you more than that.
Yeah, I might be at 500.
Yeah.
Let me see. But what I'm saying is, I'm at 500. Maybe what am I? I'm at 563. But that's since Instagram started.
Right.
You did that in
like a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do I go grow my crap right now?
So you want me to sauce you up, man?
Yeah, sauce me up, bro. All you know, it's so funny. My coach David Shands and it's a shame I don't listen. When people come on my platform, he said, bro, stop asking people questions for them. You only get your own questions.
Right.
But I'm like, everything you said is for the people. But now I'm like, let me be selfish.
Right.
I need to grow my gram 300,000 followers in those few months. But I like that three-step framework.
Nah, that's it. So once you put that in place for yourself and you figure out what that answer is, then that's really the framework. And now you just give it away at scale. But then also there's ways that you can obviously amplify that too.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of what we're doing as well, utilizing the shout-out pages, but in a specific formula with it as well.
Yeah. That's good.
So, you know, and just to give you the game on that, it's like, so this is what we do. Like, we all know that there's a bunch of different pages, right? You know, Hollywood Unlocked, Shade Room, whatever. So I line them all up from cheapest to most expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do is if something does well on my page and you know something does well, if it just performs a little bit better than everything else, you're like, all right, I know that this is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
I take that post and then I kind of like, I call it like putting it on the auction. So I take that, it did well for me, and I go to the cheapest post that I can buy a shout out for, see how it does there. If it performs well, graduate it. And I continuously graduate it until it stops performing well. So for me, when I was putting out organic content that was doing really well, I just started to buy in bulk from these big shout out pages, and then just anything that performed decent on my page, just immediately run it through a shout out page too.
Mm, powerful.
Yeah.
So for me, event spaces. Am I going in here and I'm telling you the suppliers of where you get these chairs from? Am I telling you, like, event spaces, like, I'm literally trying to figure out how would I do this around, of course I could do the chair suppliers, the linens.
Yeah. Chair suppliers,
I wonder, is that going to be as impactful for them, though? Like,
chair suppliers, linens. If I was you, I'd give away spaces because you got a team, too.
Yeah.
Yo, if you're in the Philly area, I just found this space, blah, blah, blah. You can do that all day and night. Mm. Yeah, bro.
That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to do some research then
yeah,
and just start. And what is the process of finding the suppliers or that thing for a person? Like, cause you got to find these,
right.
Like of event space, I know how to find
them. Yeah, yeah.
It's not as, I don't feel like, I don't, it's not that sweet though. That's right. The hardest process of getting the event space.
I see.
I'll go find 100 of them because it got to match a certain criteria, your price point. Because I can go find you some expensive stuff all day, but I'm also mindful of what I'm putting out. Because if you go get it at $7,500 a month,
you might not be profitable with it.
You know what I'm saying? So I think through all of those things, because I ain't trying to have somebody jammed up.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? That.
Clothes, I'm like, it's not like a blank. $13,
it is, you know,
we spending hundreds on shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
But and I think it'll be different for everybody's business.
Of course. Yeah.
So you got more businesses that I'll be able to leverage it better or not. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I got to do some research on it because I've been seeing, I'm like, yo, I got to, that strategy's working. I got to figure out what, because I'm noticing, you let me know if you agree, like the polished stuff don't work like it was.
Nah, it don't
work, polished stuff is over for it.
They don't care.
They don't.
The thing is, bro. Care. You gotta, I'm very unbiased, bro.
Yeah.
I give the algorithm what it wants.
Yeah.
And I give the market what they want.
Yeah.
I don't think that anything that I think is the best idea until it gets proven by the marketplace saying it is.
Yeah.
So it was a very simple strategy. I was posting podcast clips. I was posting testimonials. I was posting this, this, and that. I posted one point up video. It got 1 million views. I ain't stopped pointing since.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah.
And
when you find something at work, keep working.
Double down on it.
I had one of my mentors say, he's like, well, somebody asked, well, man, I'm tired of doing this. He said, don't get bored with it. Get paid with it.
Yeah.
A lot of people get bored with it. Yo, it works. Mm-hmm. You keep working it until it don't work.
Until it don't.
Yeah.
And then you use the money to go do a different opportunity that you now can afford with the money that you made from doing the boring work.
Tell me some other things that are working right now around content creation.
A lot of people aren't using MiniChat or like Mobile Monkey, etc. Bro, so I mean, if anyone watching my content, they know that I'm like always comment e-com for whatever.
Yeah.
Instantly, hundreds of people are commenting e-com. I'm commenting back automatically, and then they're getting sent an automatic link to whatever my offer is.
Yeah.
No one's really doing that. They need to.
They still sleeping on that.
They sleeping on that bad.
And that takes about 5 minutes probably to set up.
Bro, literally.
Yeah.
And so cheap too. Yeah. It's like $15 a month.
Yeah.
I would say, honestly, bro. Oh, another thing I've been doing on the social media is like
on my gatekeep, bro.
Nah, I'm trying to get it all.
Y'all, he ain't sharing everything. So I know.
Another thing I've been doing is on my stories, always posting a poll for my first story because that allows your story to get open up to more people because it's more engaging.
Yep.
And I do like a 3-step sequence: poll for the first thing, testimonial for the second, showing the result you got for a student, and then third is that call to action to whatever you got going on. But I've been seeing my stories, you know, getting 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 views on stories just from using that method alone.
And that method powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I know David Omari shared a similar method like that. That's a powerful.
Yeah.
Something quick that people is going to respond to.
Exactly.
It got to be something that, that you want to respond to.
That's it.
Yeah, it's important.
Yep.
How you staying relevant? Like, what are you doing? Because I feel like a lot of times people get complacent and you're constantly just trying to up the game. Like, what are you doing? I heard you mention earlier, like, yo, I go find a play, go try it and get like, how are you continuing to find your plays? Right. And when do you identify if a play is good or not?
Like,
cause you say, yo, I'll go run it. If it don't work, maybe you don't run it, but I don't know. Is there a certain requirement of you testing something before you say, this is good or not?
I would say this, like, I just do something I call it like studying the game film. So I figured like if you want to be the best like Kobe or LeBron, they watching their opponents whenever they are about to go play them.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm just studying the marketplace. You know, one day I might be an hour on Twitter, an hour on YouTube, an hour on Reddit, an hour on wherever else. And I'm just learning all of these new plays. And then me personally, I just look at myself like a guinea pig. So it's just like I try any play, and if the play works, then I just go and give it to, you know, whomever it is. So I'm not testing or like having any KPIs around plays. I just run whatever it is that I see, and if it works, I just go give it to people.
That's good. That's good. I feel like that's why you blessed, bro. You just give away the sauce, bro. And I think it's important. But again, it ain't no good if they don't do it.
That's a fact.
Like, it's only useful if you use it.
Yeah,
man.
That's a fact.
So share with me some mistakes, man. I want, my biggest thing is one of my biggest mistakes is not having a coach soon enough. So I made a lot of mistakes. So share some mistakes that you want people to avoid from listening to this podcast.
Bro, one of the things that just came to my mind is like focusing too much on the money, bro. And the reason I say that is because I remember making millions of dollars and then losing it all and doing it multiple times. So one time when I was in my shower, I was taking a shower, bro. I had just had $12,000 in the business bank account. Payroll was $12,600. I paid $600 out of pocket. Business bank account went to $0. And I was like, how am I about to tell the world that this business has no more money?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I took everybody in the that was working with us, 30 people, to the back of the warehouse, said, we have no more money. If you stick around, it's because you truly believe in us. But it doesn't look good right now, but I can promise you that this is going to work.
Yeah.
So, but if you leave because you're not getting paid, I totally get it.
Yeah.
30 employees went to 3 the next day.
Wow.
And it was 2 people that founded the business and one other person that was family member, right?
Yeah.
So everybody left. And then after that, I went home and I was sitting, I was in the shower. I was just felt so weak, bro, because I like this thing was, you know, it was done.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I realized, I asked myself, I said, bro, who are you without the success? Who are you without the business? Who are you without the money? And I realized that I had built up some really great connections. I had, I'm a great person. I, you know, I built myself up through, and it was all of the things that led me to this point that truly mattered. It never was the success. It was always about who I became as I was headed there. So I would say to the person, you know, the mistake that I made was just focusing too much on the result and not enough on the craft. And I think that that's something that anyone can take, you know, when they're just starting out. Don't focus on what the result's going to be. Focus on the inputs that you have to make the results. Because once you focus on the input, you get so good that the results always come no matter what. And it's more so about becoming the type of person that can do these things than it is about getting the results of someone that does whatever it is they do to get results.
Yeah.
So, and then the second one is like what we talked about earlier. It's just making sure that you build in a life. Build your life that you want and then build your business around it. It's so, bro, that killed me, bro. Yeah. It killed me, bro.
It's like you love traveling, right? But you build a business where you got to work 60 hours a week at a location.
Bro, and the thing is, you got to do it early. And the reason I say do it early and start with self-awareness is because you got to look at it like this. Like if you got like a little tugboat, it's easy to just change the direction. But if you build this thing up and it's a cruise ship, you can't even, it take hours and days like just to turn it. So that's why it's so important to operate from self-awareness in the beginning. If you small, you can move. But if you're too big, it's just way too difficult to move. And then a lot of people get hurt and a lot of things get lost in the process.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. What's three of your favorite reads right now? Or a period now.
Period.
Right now.
Number one, ego is the enemy.
Yep.
The biggest thing in business you got to do is get rid of your ego.
Yep.
You got to become a different person from 0 to 100,000, 100,000, a million to 10.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you don't realize that it's ego that's stopping you and keeping you where you are. Because at first you think I'm the best at shipping. I'm the best at packaging.
Yeah.
And then you give that up and you make 100K.
Yeah.
Then you like, yo, I'm the best at managing people.
Yeah.
And then you give that up and you get to a million.
Yeah.
Then you may not know the people that find are founding these big businesses. They're not always the CEO because someone even had a bigger vision for the business than they had when they first started it.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of relinquishing of ego to be able to even put someone that is better than you at being the CEO of your own business.
Yeah.
So ego is the enemy, one of my favorites. Second favorite is Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself by Joe Dispenza. That's just, bro, you gotta like, it taught me how to meditate and it taught me how to get rid of all of the traits that I didn't desire in myself. Cause I realized that if I wanted to be this type of person, I couldn't act the way that I was acting.
Yeah.
So that was one. And then I say my third one probably would be 12 Week Year. That one was crazy, bro. Just learning how to do 12.
I was in my Audible too,
bro.
I just got to start listening to it.
Doing 12 months of work in 12 weeks.
Wow.
That's been a big key. Yeah.
So break that down so I understand. Doing 12 months of work in 12 weeks, is that just delegating? Is it just dialing in? Like,
yeah, it's basically just like what it teaches you to do is look at all the things that you believe that you can do in 12 months and then just distill it down to 12 weeks. And what would you have to do to get that amount of work done in 12 weeks? So because the thing is that what most people do is they like, yo, I'm gonna do X in this year. And then you get to like July and August, and then you like, man, I can, like, I gotta wait till next year to do this thing because it's like, it's gonna take me this long to do it. But if you try to fit a year's worth of work in 12 weeks ago, you like, I bet we in quarter two, I'm gonna try to do another year's worth of work, but you get a lot more done. And then you're not giving yourself the excuse of, oh, I'm gonna wait till next year to do it. It's really you wait until next quarter to do it, and you giving yourself a whole nother year to go. So that's kind of the premises behind it.
That's powerful, bro. Yeah. Listen, bro, any last words that you wanna share with the people, man?
Something that I'm thinking about is like, you were right, bro. You got to get a mentor fast, bro.
That's a fact.
Get a mentor fast, bro. I don't care if it's free. I don't care if it's paid. I don't care if it's Neo. I don't care if it's me. It doesn't matter, bro. You got to get at the only thing separating you from where you want to be is information.
That's it. If people got that, dog.
Bro. All and there's
the right information
applied.
Yeah,
because and this is the thing, you got to vet out your people that you're getting mentorship from, right? Make sure that they have recent results with the receipts to prove it.
Yep.
Like, you got to do that. And then I will say this too, is like, it's, bro, that's a cheat code, bro.
Yeah.
I wish, like, every month I'm trying to figure out, how can I give somebody $25,000-$50,000? Like, how?
Because
that's the cheat code, bro. So the thing is this, is because information is valuable, bro. Yeah. But is it really, though? Because if you think about it, there's information on Twitter, YouTube, Google, Reddit, everywhere. And if information was the thing that made people rich, everybody would be rich.
Yeah.
It's not just information. It's the applied information.
Facts.
But then it's also the packaged information, which makes what we do so valuable.
Yeah.
Because if I can say, hey, I've been to where you want to go, I'm coming back with what you need, and I've put it in a package that gives you step A to Z to give you a desired transformation, that's valuable.
Yeah.
Telling you to go find something to do on Instagram is not very valuable because it's too much out there.
Facts.
So I would just say that. I would find somebody
and,
bro, get that information as fast as you can, because that's the only thing separating you from your dream life, bro.
That's a fact. And one of the things my mentor says, the quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you
get to live
enjoy
it,
bro.
Right.
So, guys, man, thank y'all so much for tuning in this episode. Man, I'm going to go ahead and drop a link below for you to tap into Justin training to his program, as well as, man, we're putting together an opportunity to really work and partner with a few econ businesses that are really ready to explode. So that's not for everybody, but you will see some links below that you can go ahead and apply and reach out and tell everybody Instagram. So they can
Instagram, Justin P, TikTok, Ecom, Justin P.
Let's get it, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in, and click those links in the show notes. Now we can't wait to help y'all grow. Let's go. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to thepropertychallenge.com right now. Terica Lynn Smith is responsible for me owning a block with over 60 investment properties on there. And my goal in this season is to help more people like you, like me, become real estate investors. She's having this upcoming virtual event and in-person conference that's going to be absolutely game-changing. So go to thepropertychallenge.com right now and secure your spot. See you soon.